Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cuff. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond.
Yo, yo, check this out. This is your girl, Cola Coke, and I'm chilling with my boys right here on Off the Cuff Radio. We off the cuff right now. You big?
What's up? It's your boy Lil Yap from UNLV, ragging up from the river, cooling with my homies and my family at Off the Cuff Radio. Y'all be sure to tune in on Fridays and get the latest scoop and find out what's happening. You hear me?
Tiffany Levon.
And it's Queen Crazy, your girl, favorite bartender.
And we're from
Sex on the Rocks podcast.
All right, you're now tuning in to Off the Cuff Radio.
Yeah, because they keep representing that world of hip hop. Well, much love.
All right.
Y'all, this is Miss Irresistible giving a shout out to the live show on Friday nights Off the Cuff Radio, and I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
Hey y'all, this is Stacey Lachey giving a shout out to King Eric and Off the Cuff Radio.
What's shaking, y'all? This is the Grand, one half of Lost Cause and one third of that Drive Time thing. Sending my love to the homies over at Off the Cuff Radio. Tune in every Friday night for some real deal hip hop conversation. These dudes are the connoisseurs of this thing. You already know what it is. BX Stand Up, Hud City, what's shaking? Peace.
Yo, this is Joe Fresh Design, and y'all tuned in to the most raw, untouched show on radio, the Guillotine Team, Off the Cuff, and yo, Eric Sandman, off of these clouds.
When it's done, it's over. When it's done, it's over. When it's done, it's over. Young, rich, and wild.
I'm a real one from the hood. You probably see me getting gas at the shelves. I ain't slipping because the 40 keep it packed with the shells. I was plotting on the money when they had me in sales. I for sure to seen 100,000 off of them scales. That was small time money when it come to make a million. If you got it out the mud, the shit, you know how I'm feeling. I was just a little nigga, love to bang on the shark. Then the older homie showed me how to cook that raw. They done turned me to a dope boy, gangbanger graduate. I put that kind of pressure on niggas, they couldn't handle it. Living by the rules, Johnny Craig, me don't ask the question. Doing dirt all by my lonely, I done learned life lessons. Kiss my son up on his head, I'm living life like a savage. Hitting niggas in their face, I'm causing physical damage. They got me paranoid, I'm walking through these streets with a vest. I'm thanking God the nigga only hit me once in the chest. I was raised in the drug game, my nigga speak the truth. As a youth, a nigga seen it all real truth. From selling rocks to cooking rocks, I got it from the curve. 4.5 to a 9, yeah, I got nerves. Maserati. The distance, Draco in the back, fuck around and come up missing. Real hood, sauce and half beats, I'm a savage. Hop pop with them sticks, 100 rounds and let them have it. Jimmy Hendrix with the joint, look, I stay on point. Hand air a nigga out, what you mean I'm a joint? European whip, Harlington Ave with the shit. Disrespect the cloth, for sure, you getting skipped. All money business, luxurious gang members. Straw gang shit, go hard, we stay lit.
I come from the smoking yellow tape on electric. In my city ain't no love, so we show no affection. On the grind trying to get it west side of my section. On my pursuit of perfection, I'll shoot up your Lexus. A lot of niggas claim the hood, but they don't care enough. Balenciaga with the cac shorts, I'm a werewolf. I take flight anywhere, on Crip, I ain't scared none. Pull up in the lift and hop out with a bear gun. Came up on the 8, pushing cane on the porch. When it's hot, I'm in the kitchen, King James in the 4th. I ain't never scared through the rain and the storm. Flossin' boy and that's forever, let a legend live on.
This a different fabric, more work, I need a bigger baggie. This a classic, reminiscing when I wish I had it, when and got it. Trap money in the closets, I don't do deposits for profits, increase my knowledge, I promise. Where I'm from, the context to make you lose your conscience. The circumstances of the struggle when you bury partners. When I think about it, Leave it there and we don't speak about it. Dealing with the problem, certain things that ain't no way around it. Going through it, neck gon' swivel when I'm rolling through it. Don't be stupid, the wrong move will instigate the shooter. Saucin' ass cruiser, Chris Sean Kruger. Pass your boy the rock, I shoot my shot. You know my niggas true.
Young Rich and Rollin', keep something on me swollen with a stick up on it. Tiny Lockin' with my brodies on a different total. Total power, cause my trip is rolling. Shit get trippy on him. Young Rich and Rollin', this a different moment. This that all money business on the 1500. So when it's done, it's over. I'm about to cop a rollie, and I'ma cop another, and another color. I'm so fly a hover, not that guy that love her. I just pass him over to my other brother. Cause when she done, she over. I'm on to another, and then she done, she over. I'm on to another guy, this a different cloth. This a special moment, this a different reason. Still flying with the chopper. When it's done, it's over. When it's done, it's over. When it's done, it's over. Young Rich and Rollin'. God, this a different cloth. This a special moment. This a different reason. Still flying with the chopper. When it's done, it's over. When it's done, it's over. When it's done, it's over. Young Rich and Rollin'. Nigga, if they slide through, we gon' slide back. Throw away the strap, they can't find that. I'm cut from another cloth. I own shit, I'm a fucking boss. All I do is win, nigga, fucking lost. You niggas soft. Chin check, break you niggas' jaw. For trying to floss, welcome to the shop. Rolling with my seat, lean back. Got my heat on my lap. What the fuck I look like trying to reach for a strap, nigga? All money in is what I'm yelling. I'm a felon. Put one in your melon, bitch, if you tellin'. From Overhill to Western, nigga, 60s in my section. Frontline pressing, nigga, I apply pressure. Still reppin'. Bust my weapon, go book a session. Quit flexin'. We ain't buying that shit you selling. Niggas jealous. We drive reckless through intersections. We got now, y'all got next.
Swear to God, this a different cloth. This a special moment. This a different reason. Still flying with the chopper. When it's done, it's over. When it's done, it's over. When it's done, it's over. Young Rich and Rollin'. God, this a different cloth. This a special moment. This a different reason. Still flying with the chopper. When it's done, it's over. When it's done, it's over. When it's done, it's over. Young Rich and Rollin'.
And we are now tuned in at episode 348 of the livest and most direct hip hop show on the web. Off the Cuff Radio. I am your host, King Eric the Great, a.k.a. Rick Capo, a.k.a. Eric Mossberg, a.k.a. the Deion Sanders of this radio game. And we got a special Sunday night episode exclusive lined up. And I got my partner on the side, T-Max, with the facts.
What it do, what it do. It's another Sunday night special. OTC up in the building. Shout out to our co-host in spirit. A lot of fan mail. Lenny Shea and Chilla. So Illa, you know how we do it from north, south, east to west. And tonight, King, we got one of Cali's most wanted, one of the dopest MCs out there, keeping it active, a real American hero of hip-hop from hood to hood all over. He's good. We got to give it up for the one and only G.I. Joe. What it do, cuz?
yo, what's happening with it, y'all? What's going on?
Man, we happy to have you on, man, for this exclusive.
Oh, yeah, we tapped in live and direct, bro. I appreciate y'all for the whole situation, man. Highly appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Look, G.I., it's an honor and a privilege, man. Look, I'm all the way in VA. I'm Kings in North Carolina. I got wind of you some years ago. I told King, yo, we got to bring this dude on, man. First time I heard you was on Compton AV. Yo, shout out to Compton AV, keeping it real out in Cali, man, the track called Quest Day. And you had a line up there that was straight banging. He was like, we ready to jump out this bitch like Geronimo. Tattoos tell the war story. We pay dues. You don't want to be the subject of breaking news. I was like,
yeah, you tapped in. For sure. Yo. Shout out my boy Compton AV, man, for that one, man. For sure. Yeah, man. You told me to go get a jump on this. That's your slot, man. I appreciate my bro, Compton AV, for that.
Dude, I mean,
yeah, I first heard of you on the Mailbox Money joint, man. And I was like, man, that goes to show you right there, Cali got some bars, man. This new Cali movement is beautiful to see.
Man, I appreciate it, bro. Hell yeah. Shout out my brother, Neighborhood Nev Hustle, too, for sure, for throwing me on that Mailbox Money, man, and letting me do my thing and stretch my wings out, man, for sure. Still owe you 100 favors, bro. You already know, Hustle.
Definitely, man. Now, you know, you've been marching in the marathon for a movement, you know, with no breaks and sprinting to the finish line, man. Shout out and rest in peace to Nipsey, you know, of course, holding down the 60s, man. I mean, definitely in terms of what you've been doing, you know, the I mean, like I said, I've been following you. Me and Keith been following you, man, and it's like, especially myself, especially, you know, when you jumped on to join us. Shout out to Patman, the Gunman, and of course, Jay Stone, you know, when y'all did the Dude on the Hood and yourself, man. I was like, yo, it's all we can say, man. Is, man, y'all, Nipsey has some spitters in the clip, man, and y'all carrying on tradition, man. I mean, tell us about yourself, Joe. I mean, how you got into the game of hip-hop, you know, what inspired you, you know, just everything.
Man, bro, well, shit, man, I guess I start from the intro, man. You know, I was inspired by music early in the game, just like being around my moms and, you know, in church and stuff like that. You know, I used to sing in the choir when I was a kid, you know what I mean? So, like, just the whole music feel of playing drums and just instruments and everything that was just around the music, listening to Michael Jackson and watching the videos that he had out as a kid. And, you know, all that was just inspiring. But I think my real, real first piece of hip-hop inspiration was Criss Cross, man. Me and my cousin, we used to pretend to be Criss Cross, throw the pants on backwards and, you know, wear the hats backwards and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, that was my real, real first introduction and, like, inspirational moment to hip-hop because I'm like, dang. These dudes not too much older than me, but they on here getting off. So, you know, I was inspired by music way early back then and later on in the game, just, you know, elementary days, just checking out Tupac and Biggie and the Death Row era, Rockefeller era, just that whole movement, that whole era was just like full of real. I'm not saying what we got today is not real rap, but it was like that's what I was raised on, E-40 and just Mac-10, West Side Connection, all them cats, man. It was just. Even later on in the later late 90s with the Juvenile Hot Boys campaign, No Limit, you know, it was just everybody who I was listening to had real substance in their music. They was like getting off like hard, like crucial, like, you know, even Dr. Dre when he was trying to rap, you know, it was like, damn, like they was really getting off. And it was like I was inspired early by just lyrics, you know, dope beats, of course, too, but the things that they were saying and how they was putting metaphors together and stuff like that and how they was just, like, connecting bars, it was just, it used to just blow my mind as a kid, you know, especially Tupac. So the way they used to be able to tell stories and paint vivid pictures for you, but through a microphone, you know what I mean? Like, I'm listening to songs, but I'm seeing a clear vision of what they saying in my mind. So that just used to trip me out, like, damn, I want to do that, you know? Of course, with the lifestyle that came with it, you know, I was blinded, didn't really know what was going on behind the scenes. But from the outside looking in, it was like, whatever they doing, I want to be a part of that. They got a platform to spread their message, their word, their lyrics. It's just everything about the game was just like the way they was dressing, the jewelry. I want it in, bro, you know, I want it in. So, shit, that's a piece of the introduction and me just being involved in the game and deciding to put my foot in the music industry, it was like I said, I was already inspired by music early. So, you know, I used to play around with it on the block with the homies and, you know, campaign with it. But just, like, I used to be playing around, but my homies used to always be like, bro, like, you just playing right now on the block with us, drinking and smoking. But, nigga, you saying some stuff, bro. Like, you got to get off and get in the booth. And, you know, time moved on and just being inspired from music, man, I just decided, man, why not give it a shot, man? Stepped in the booth and heard myself on the playback. I was like, all right, I'm hooked. This is what I want to do. This what I want to do. It took me some time to really take it all the way serious. You know, I didn't really take music all the way serious until, like, I'd say, like, the last time I went to prison. And, mm-hmm. you know, I was just like, shit, I'm tired of going to jail pretty much. And I was already kind of rocking with Nip and the Slauson Boys and, you know, all of them, all the original Slauson Boys, all my homies, Big U and all them. I was kind of already jabbing
in the music.
Shout out to Big U for sure. Shout out to Hustle Rob, K Cobby Supreme, all my Hustle Rob, Cuzzy, all the original Sloss Gang members, WeDawg, you know, Robin Hood, you know, they all took me under their wing. I was the little brother. Me and Nip was like the youngest of the crew, and, you know, they just used to keep me in the booth, man. I was still playing at the time, but I finally took it serious when I was on the yard in prison, man, on that level three, and somebody slid a CD up under my cell, and it was my homeboy, Nipsey Hussle. I think it was the marathon. I'm like, damn, it's real. I'm all the way in prison, and he got CDs up in here. I'm like, all right, when I get home this time, I'm finna take flight, you know. And I came home, stayed out for like 2 weeks, did another year violation. And then off that year violation, I was like, all right, I'm finna really get serious. And came home, and that's when I kind of ran into the Only a Case record. And I knocked the record out. Hustle gave me the track. Threw my bro Conrad from the Avs on the hook, passed it back in to Nip. It was originally supposed to be for my project, my first project, OMG on My Grind Volume 1. And when I turned it back in to Hustle, I was like, press play on it, bro. Tell me what you think. He was like, damn, bro. Like, man, I know you could get off, bro, but I didn't know you had bars like that, bro. He was like, man, it'd be an honor, bro, if I could put this on my new project, Mailbox Money. I'm like, shh. Nigga, it'd be an honor for me if you put it on your project. Yeah, nigga, let's run it. So and he dropped it on the mixtape, and I came in the game from there.
And you know, the me and King, you know, we talk on air and off the air. We, you know, we got so much love, you know, for Nipsey. You know, he touched so many. You know, of course, shout out to the Art of Dialogue. You know, shout out to Twan Gotti, of course. And shout out to Nipsey, because Nipsey, you know, God bless him, man. He heard our show. We get choked up every time we think about it, because he heard our show, you know, before he passed away, man. You know, he had passed.
Yeah,
he
the
got
joint
killed,
we
what,
did
that,
with.
Yeah, Twan
yeah,
Gotti.
It was the joint that we did with Rap Status with Twan Gotti. He heard that clip that we posted.
That's crazy. That's crazy. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Shout out to fellas for that, man. For real, for real. That mean y'all doing y'all thing, man. Stay on y'all mission.
Yeah, man.
Y'all
know what's crazy, y'all? What's crazy about that day was, usually when we do interviews, I usually take like a week off, like to posting anything up, because, you know, it's a lot of work with research and getting clips on and editing. But he kept on hitting me up that whole day. He was like, yo, man, I got that clip up. I got to get that interview up. So I went ahead and did it. And then when the day later, that's when it all happened. And he actually heard it like hours before.
Right. That's crazy. Yeah. My bro Hustle, he was definitely tapped into the culture for sure. He was tapped into the culture. If it was hot and it was dope and it was worth putting your ears to, you know, he was definitely tapped in for sure. Bro was... He was tapped in with the culture all the way around, you know. So, man, I'm glad he got the chance to put his ears on y'all show, man, and tap in and see what's going on. I know y'all dropped some blues on there.
We do our best, man. You know, one thing about it is, you know, from that end of it, Joe, we always look at it from a level of we're honored in terms of carrying on, in terms of being able to talk to people like yourself who are descended directly from his legacy. And of course, at large, you know, of course, we know you keep it true blue. You know, you all, you know, you and Nip, and shout out to Black Sam too. Can't leave Black Sam out. We have a lot of them, you know, them banging ass blue boys, you know, coming from, you know, back in the day. Of course, you know, we had NWA, you know, Ren and Easy, represent Kelly Park, of course, Compton's Most Wanted, you know, Trag New, you know what I'm saying? Of course, you know, Snoop, you know, Dog Pound, you know, you know, Rolling 20s, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I mean,
for sure.
You know, it's what was it like really just seeing all of y'all? And of course, we got to shout out Schoolboy representing Hoover, Side Dudes, you know what I mean? You know, what was it like just following in tradition, you know, of making sure that, of course, the, you know, the cloth that y'all cut from, you know, the rag you know, that y'all, you know, and the hoods y'all tag with it, man. How important was it to really maintain, you know, those authentic ties and really letting people know, yo, this is how we get down for not only our side of it, but for the whole culture of hip hop?
Man, bro, that's a good question, bro. Really, it was, I didn't really look at it at the time when we was making the record for doing it, like, worldwide for, like, everybody. It was really just, like, it was really just a special moment. And that's why my bro Pac-Man said it's a special moment. It's a different reason. Because, you know, actually, we was in the studio working, and, you know, it's so many of my homies that's out of my section, you know, right there on Crenshaw Slauson. It's just, it's so many homies that do music. And remind you, we all been homies before music was even a thing, before any of us had a video out, before any of us even really thought about rapping. We all knew each other from the hood because we all grew up over there. So, you know, I've been knowing Pac-Man way before he was rapping. I've been knowing DH way before he was rapping. Same with Nip, Tuzzy, Cobby, every homie that rapped, J-Stone, you know, we've been knowing each other from the soil. Nip, of course, Black Sam, all of us. So it was just a time where it was like, there's so many of us doing music in different avenues, and, you know, it was just a random night where it was like, man, the homie Robin Hood, and shout out my boy Brody Brown, Brody B, he was like, man, call the homies up, G.I., and just have everybody fall through the studio today. We're going to do an open session today because I was actually in there doing some songwriting for a particular artist, you know. So that day, bro was like, let's just do some have fun day. I'm like, all right, cool. We called the homies up, barbecue, 1942, Don P, you know, just doing us. And my boy Brody came in and seen the vibe, like it was so many homies. He like, damn, I got all these rappers in this one room. I need to get something hot up on the speakers. You know, he's like one of the coldest producers out, man. You know, if y'all don't know who Brody B is, man, Brody Brown, check him out. You know, that's my boy. He did the whole 24 Karat Magic album. He did the Dell album. He did, I can go on and on, man. Show Me What You Got, you know, with Jay-Z back then with 1500, you know, whatever. That's my brother, though, but he put something hot up on them speakers. And long story short, man, we just all fell in love with the record and just attacked the record at the moment. And it was just like, it was a different moment because it's rare that we get all of us in a room at one time because all of us have our own brands pretty much. So we all trying to push our own machine. So to get all of us in one room at one time, it's a special moment, you know what I mean? And I think that was one of the reasons why Pac delivered that in that hook, because we was really just giving it up for our section. We didn't think about worldwide and all the rest of the, you know, people that's pushing the blue rag and none of that. It was just like, it was a special moment for us, for all my, not even all of us, but for a nice handful of us to be in the studio session at one time. And we just had to get that one record off, and it turned into something special. And that's kind of how that record fell apart. We really didn't have no big major plan for it. It wasn't really for worldwide. It was really just for my homies in my section. But, you know, we all represent the same thing. So, hell yeah, we gonna keep it blued out, you know. We're going to keep it hood and do what we do. But, that's kind of how that record fell apart.
Yeah, like my man said, and I got to be, and I'd be remiss if I didn't shout out, you know, Core South Central Cartel. You know, and of course, I got to shout out my man G Perico to the left, you know, representing Broadway. And I got to represent, of course, AD. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's so many of y'all, man. I mean, y'all doing it proud.
And New Kelly.
All the kind of scripts on there, man. You might be on to something, bro. Might do a remix and just put a gang of Crips on there, man, you know. But that was really
shit.
Just.
And that's the dope thing, bro.
That's the dope thing
about the movement is that you guys are just working together. Y'all putting all the you know, the gang ties aside, and y'all putting the ego aside, and y'all just making wonderful music, man, timeless music. Yeah. And that's what it's all about.
Real talk. We appreciate it, too. For sure, for sure. That's what it's all about, man. You know, we just all started with I'm not going to even say a dream because we really didn't even plot on doing this like that. But, you know, we ran into something special, and I think we all realized that we had a special talent after a while, and we all just took advantage of the situation. And we just been blessed to be smashing and doing what we love to do and, you know, making great music, hot music, and trying to be a part of history, you know, and putting our name in the stone books. So that's what we on every day, man, trying to get the job accomplished, man, day by day, putting out classics. That's what we're doing. Make sure we go out in the history books and it's over.
Definitely. So tell us about the OMG, On My Grind movement. How did you birth that?
The On My Grind movement, it was kind of, how should I start it? Okay, I kind of told you previously that, you know, I did go to jail back to back. And on that last round, it was just like I took full advantage to be focused because I knew I only had a year, you know, compared to all the other time I had done prior to. So I knew it was going to be short. It sounds long, but, you know, when you're in there, time moves quick. So I knew if this was what I really wanted to do, I was challenging myself. I'm like, all right, if this was really what you're going to do, plan it out, map it out, let me see it. Talking to myself. So I just kind of drew a whole plan out. I had records laid out that I was writing when I was in jail. So I had records ready. I knew I had connections with Hustle. I knew I had connections with other artists that I was dealing with. And remind you, I was there from the jump seeing my brother Nip, how he was campaigning the streets and created a brand. I didn't understand what he was doing at the time, but I saw it. So it was always unconsciously, it was in my mind. Like, I seen what my brother did. I used to help him put posters on Crenshaw and Slauson. I seen him, like, he had a brand. He just didn't have his name up there. So all of this is replaying in my mind while I'm sitting in the cell. And, you know, I was a grinder. Before I was doing rap, I was grinding, you know, doing what I had to do. So I just kind of took that concept. And I forget how I stumbled across the OMG. I seen the OMG somewhere, like in a magazine or a book or something I was reading. I can't recall exactly what it was. And I just was like, oh, OMG, man. Instead of, oh, my gosh, on my grind, it just randomly came to me. I locked in on that. When I came home, I already had a concept. I knew I had to have a logo. So I talked to my bro, Hustle. And I used to see how he did, how he had his Sloth and Boy logo at first, then he flipped over to the All Money In logo. He had the Crenshaw logo. So I'm like, dang, he got a brand going. So I had a conversation with bro in the studio one day, like, bro, how do I turn my situation into a brand, like, pretty much how you doing? And he broke down brands to me. We had a decent conversation about branding and just all of that kind of stuff. And he plugged me with his homeboy, George Paniche, JP. You know, that's the genius behind the lens who does mostly every logo that you've seen Nip Hustle had.
The
TMC logo, the All Money In logo, every logo that you've seen, the Crenshaw, the cursive one, the block letter Crenshaw logo, JP pretty much was the man behind the glass that was drawing up all these dope logos for Hustle. So he plugged me with bro. Told him the script, look, this is my boy G.I. Joe. It's my partner since diapers. You know what I mean? So, you know, look out for him, bro. Long story short, I kind of had meetings with JP day in and day out for about a little under a week. And I knew what I wanted. I just didn't know how to design it. So JP helped me out in a major way as far as designing the logo. We came up with the logo. And from there, before I even released any music, I already seen how Hustle had laid his demonstration. So I said, okay, it took me a little longer. So when I do come out, I'm going to have everything released at one time. So when I decided to release my first mixtape, OMG On My Grind Volume 1, I had my logo ready. I had my T-shirts ready. I had my hoodies ready because it was in the winter when I released. I had my project ready. I had posters ready, stickers ready. And Nip had just dropped mailbox money. So I let that breathe for a minute, let the people eat that up, and then once I started seeing the response of, who is this boy, who's this bro, G.I. Joe on this song, Only a Case. So once I started seeing that, I finally decided to release my project, release everything at one time. And that's kind of how I took off with the brand, with the OMG. It was just like, it was perfect timing. Bro gave me about 30 days. He dropped his project with Only a Case on there. And about 30 days after that was when I decided to release the project and the whole movement and just me and just everything that comes with me. And, yeah, man, I haven't looked back from that day. So that's a major way on how the OMG movement started, bro. It was crazy. Man. Like I say all the time, I owe my bro Hustle 100 favors. You know, even though he's gone, I still owe him 100 favors because, man, he put me in position in ways without me having to put my hand out. Instead of me saying, bro, can I hold 10 racks? He put me in position and said, if you take advantage of this, then they go 100,000 for you. You know what I mean? So that was always the game with Hustle. So, you know, I still always say I owe bro 100 favors because he put me in position to handle my own business. Because I could have been a part of All Money In. You know, that's my bro. He told me from the jump, bro, if you want to press All Money In, bro, you know, you more than welcome, bro. The doors is open. But, you're like, I see you as having your own situation. And that's kind of when I, you know, already had an idea about the OMG movement. And that was kind of like the beginning intro of the conversation of how to bring my brand to reality, from my thoughts to actual logo. And, you know, that was kind of like the introduction of that conversation. But, yeah, that's how the OMG movement started, straight off that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And do you care to give people a lot of game, like, you know, aspiring creators, like how to get their network and how to politic and getting their vision out there? Because I think that's another problem that we have with a lot of artists. They don't understand how to brand themselves.
Right. I speak to the ones who want to hear it. I try not to waste, I don't want to say waste, but I try not to just speak loosely to any and everyone, you know, because all information is not for everybody. So I try to give it to the ones who's more receptive of the information, and the ones who are going to be receptive of the information are the ones who ask me, or the ones who I see need a little direction and who I feel would listen and wouldn't be so, I don't want to say hot-headed, but sometimes people ego can, you know, step in front of them sometimes, and they can misinterpret what you're saying, and they might take it as you hating, or, you know, that's our biggest word. Oh, cuz hater, you know what I'm saying? Or, oh, I ain't hating on me because I'm doing my thing, and it's not even so much that I'm hating, it's just that I'm trying to steer you, I'm not going to say in the right direction, but I'm trying to give you a little game, you know what I mean? So I try to watch who I get that game to, because, like I said, it's not for everyone. You know, it's only for a chosen few. And when I see it's a person who's receptive to information that I deliver, or it's a person who's inquiring about that type of information, then, you know, I don't have a problem with laying out everything that I have within me to help you out. But like I said, sometimes you could be talking to a brick wall, you know what I mean? So you don't want to be wasting your time talking to a brick wall all day. So I choose wisely on who I give game to.
Definitely. And you know, Joe, you know, because, you know, it's, you know, I remember the first time I read about Nip, you know, in XXL. This was like damn near maybe 17 years ago. And, of course, I had the 2009 issue, you know, with him on the cover of the freshman issue. But by then, it was already established. One thing about the branding, though, that always, and me and King still laugh about that to this day, about how Nip pulled it off, because you had a great blueprint to learn from with him. Of course, we know about, you know, the Crenshaw mixtape, you know, which was $100. You know,
right.
Because one thing we want our listeners to understand out there, you know, Nip was already ahead of the game, you know, with what he was doing out in L.A., you know, going back to like 2002, 2003, you know, from his first deal with Sony Records, even though that didn't work
out. For sure.
You know, and he went back out there.
Yeah.
And, of course, Jay-Z bought 100 copies of Crenshaw. So
right. We
wonder, you know, we're wondering, you know, yo, like, Hov just bought 100 copies just to show respect for the hustler. And so it's like, then he drops, you know, mailbox money, which he sells. And Joe, we got to break down this because we really have to show people how this is game that all of us know in terms of how, you know, you really have to, once you know, when you really know you got an audience. See, there's a difference between, you know, just being locally known and then worldwide famous. So when Nip dropped mailbox money, it was available for a free download. The physicals were worth $1,000. And Nip would send any personal mementos to anybody who bought the physical, whether, you know, some of his sneakers, a rhyme notebook, T-shirt. He did 60 racks in, like, the first, I believe, 2 hours that he dropped it.
Yep, for sure. my bro was out here making history left, right, left. Like, it was crazy seeing that. Like, damn, bro, you sold a CD for $1,000, bro. Like, that was crazy. And multiple copies, like, it was crazy for the 100. I'm like, damn, this nigga selling a CD for 100. This my homeboy, and I was even intrigued. Like, damn, let me make sure I get a copy of that. I don't know what it is about it, but let me make sure I get a copy of that, you know? So he definitely was breaking grounds, and, like, he was way advanced, bro. It's crazy. And a lot of it, most of it comes from reading, you know? Bro was very sharp, very intelligent. He was a gangbanger out here. He was, you know, with all activities. But bro was like, I remember going to his studio when he used to live, like, on, like, 78th, like, way back in the day. Like, let me see, probably, like, 2004, you know, we used to be in the studio recording. I was, like I said, at the time, I was playing around. I walked to his house. I'm like, damn, we got a little setup in there. And, I'm checking out the room. You know, he got the chalkboard, but the Sharpie board with, you know, his notes on there, or this song, do this, change this hook, do just to-do list, but for music. I'm like, okay. And then I look to the right, behind the door, he got a big bookshelf, floor to ceiling, stacked up with all books. I'm like, damn, bro, you be reading all of this? Like, you got a whole lot of reading to do. He's like, bro, every book that's on there I read. That's why it's on the shelf. And it was, like, crazy books on the shelf, bro. It was like all kind of just, like, not books that was, like, pretend books, like, fictional little
like
books.
Like the 48 Laws of Power, Art of War kind of books.
Yeah, he had real, knowledgeable books sitting on that rack, bro, and it was just like way back then. Like, I couldn't believe it. I was like, damn, you read all these books? Like, bro, I read all of them books. That's the only way they make it on the shelf is if I completed them. And it was just like amazed me way back then. So he obtained a lot of knowledge early in the game. And a lot of that stuff, a lot of those books he was reading was just like self-empowerment books. It was crazy to me. I can't really remember none of the titles of those books, but I just remember seeing books on books on books, floor to ceiling, like, you know what I mean? And he said he read every book on there at least once. I'm like, damn. So a lot of that game, even the idea of him selling the CD for $100, that came from a book that he read called Contagious. You know, and I ended up reading that book later on in the game. And the idea was really about a man who used to sell Philly cheesesteaks. The cheesesteaks was nothing but $5 or whatever, $10 for a regular cheesesteak. And he was trying to think ways to make the people talk about his cheesesteak. So he just got a little bit. He bought some little better quality bread. Bought some what we would call today organic meat or whatever, you know. Spent a little extra dollars on, you know, on the product, but it was the same stuff. And went on ahead and put a sticker on it for $100. And word traveled fast. He didn't have to do no promotions. He was just selling it for $100. All of the celebrities wanted to come through and try out a $100 cheesesteak. Oprah Winfrey came through and bought a cheesesteak for $100. And from there, it blew up out of the water. So from that situation right there, and this is all described in the book. So with that right there, Hustle took that same theory and just applied it to what he does, to his business, which is selling music, and applied that same pressure on the CD, $100 a CD. Whole world went crazy. And the same way Oprah Winfrey came through, it was a major talk of the town because Oprah did it. Same thing happened with my boy Hustle. Jay-Z came through and spent money on it. So it was like the blueprint was there for him, but guess where it was hidden? In a book, you know? And my bro was so sharp at reading books, he was just soaking up game and just obtaining knowledge from years on years. So by the time I got the book, it was like, you know, it's a dope book, too. Y'all should check it out. It's called Contagious. I can't think of the author right now, but it's a dope book to read, you know, if you're into it's all about trying to get your product to be spoken on, word of mouth, traveling, get people to talk about your brand, what you're doing, you know, in tedious ways, but effective ways, you know. So definitely a good book to check out for all the hustlers that's out there listening. You know, definitely I'll give a big thumbs up on that book.
Definitely, man.
Yeah.
I mean, so what is it about L.A., man? I mean, you know, because y'all just got to, you know, California, you know, shout out to all of y'all on the west side, man, all the way, you know, from the 213 to the 510 to the 831 to the 707, 209, you know, I mean, you know, 323, 562,
sure.
I mean, all area codes, man. I mean, y'all, what is it about y'all hustle, man? I mean, you got shout out Trap Kitchen, too, you know, for how they cooking it up.
Yeah. My guys over there, that's the team.
Yeah, man. I mean, what's the how do y'all, you know, what's the secret out there from the Bay to LA? How y'all just keep y'all hustle so strong, man?
Man, bro, that's a good question, man. I can't speak for all the sections. I can speak for mine, man. You know, it's my thing is just see it, believe it, get it done, bro. You know. Put your mind to it, put your grind to it. And we got so many monumental players that's around us that we've seen coming up. You know, it's like it's there for us. It's there for the taking. You know, it's there for the taking. This is the land of opportunity. You know, people come all from all places of the world to get to right here where we at, for the beaches, the palm trees, the weed that they got going on out here, man, the women, the scenery, Hollywood, the clubs, you know, it's here for us. And some of us are just aware of that, man. I know people that come from Atlanta, New York, man, everywhere. I done met people that's from Switzerland, Canada, you know, they come from everywhere. I meet people from everywhere that come out here to take advantage of what we got. And, you know, it's like, shit, I'm here. I need to wake my game up and take advantage of the toys that's in my backyard. I got all the tools and all the equipment that's in my backyard. You know, I don't really got to go nowhere. Just build with what I got, and then from there move out and move forward, you know. So I think a lot of us are just realizing what we got and taking advantage of it and using our tools to better ourselves, and I'm glad that we're doing that too. You know, I'm seeing a lot of us build our own brands. I see a lot of us building our own companies. I see a lot of women doing online boutiques and just independent jobs and making our own way. And, you know, it comes all the way back from the Master P era, you know. It was just like, man, make your way. Make your way. And, you know, I appreciate people like that for my black history, not just the OGs. I respect the ones who the speakers, you know, Malcolm X and Martin Luther King, you know, all of those people who did that for that era. But I also put people in this time frame, it's still this time frame, but in our era where I was able to actually see it and witness it you know, I salute and respect people like Master P for laying a demonstration down like he did. Birdman, Slim, you know, I appreciate what they did in the music game. You know, Carl Kanai and, you know, the guys who run FUBU and just seeing black entrepreneurs take flight and do their thing, you know, it was inspirational all the way up until my brother Hustle, you know. So it was just around us our whole life. And I think people are waking their game up and really trying to take advantage of what's going on. We need more of that, you know what I'm saying? And it don't necessarily have to only be in music. You know, I was watching the Master P document. Master P did it in sports. He even putting food in the grocery stores right now. He got chips, snacks, pancake mix. You know, it's just it's no limit, like P used to say. So I think people are waking their game up and taking advantage of it.
Yeah, I think it's how the current condition is forcing people to go out their comfort zone and really make things happen in a different way.
For sure that. It's either you gonna roll or you gonna fold. And shit, I think the people is looking at it like, shit, they ain't trying to fold, you know. So you got to build something and believe it. And I think the people are seeing so many people that they know or that they know of that's close to them. And they are seeing and witnessing, damn, if he could do it, I could do it, you know. So I think that theory is starting to kick in. And people are taking advantage of it right now. And that's a blessing. I love to see that.
Definitely. And, what we call the Young California Movement out there, you know, and, you know, you're still part of it as much as anybody. I mean, we got to give shout out, of course, to Cam in China, you know, Angela Donna. I mean, there's so many, you know, of course, up to the, when we take it up to Stacktown, you know, with Mozzie, you know,
right.
Shout out to Oak Park, 4th Avenue, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's beautiful to see, you know, no matter what hood you're from, no matter what side of the rag, you know, your claim, man, whether blue or red, you know, whether you're Blood, Crip, Damu, Piru, you know, how all of y'all have really taken something, you know, from your personal life experience. Like, shout out to, you know, our man's OG Suicide, man, who's a motivational speaker, you know, helping people, you know, has his own publication, One West Magazine, you know, yourself with your On My Grind Movement, OMG for, you know, Original Made Gangster, you know, it could be that acronym, you know what I'm saying? It's like, all of y'all, you know, and I don't want to sound corny saying this, but I think but the inspiration that you have given to so many people, you know, I think you all have impacted more people than you will ever know, because especially thanks to, you know, of course, avenues like IG, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, you know, people, you know, have really, you've gotten an opportunity to not only, you know, show the talent you have and what all of you possess, but to have that gift to share with the whole world. How gratifying is that? And how do you feel like social media has really, really impacted the game of hip hop in terms of marketing and branding?
Man, I think that social media is an outlet that has been needed for a long time for the entrepreneur, you know. It can be addicting and, you know, in other ways, it has its negatives and it has its positives. It has its pros and cons like anything else in life. But me, myself, personally, I'm thankful for the social media outlet. Like I said, it's built for a true entrepreneur to push whatever product you decide to push throughout that outlet. You could market it the way you want to. You can keep an eye on your followers, your fan base, your following in general, and you can focus in and beam in directly on these individuals that you know is here to rock with you and whatever movement that you got going. So in that way, you don't need a big label and all of this stuff to market your stuff, because you could be your own A&R. You could be your own head honcho, CEO of everything. You decide when you want things to go up on your site. You decide everything. The world is yours, pretty much, long story short. And it's a platform to reach out to so many different people throughout the world, and they can tap back in with you. Like I say, I've had people tap in with me from Japan, Australia, Germany, Africa, you know, just places I didn't even think that my music would be reaching out to, like, you know, and it's amazing to me. Like, I've even did a few, you know, they got that little thing inside Instagram where you could do the FaceTime situation in there. I done tapped in with people in South Africa, like, G.I. Joe, we out here banging your music. We love you. OMG. Crenshaw. I'm like, damn. They talking about OMG way out in Africa. Like, it's big, you know? So I just love the opportunity that social media has laid out, and I think we definitely should take advantage of it. And, yeah, man, smash on it. Smash on it. If the lane is open, hit the gas pedal, bro. Why not? You know, you only get one shot at it, so let's go hard. Let's play ball with it. Let's go all in. And that's where I'm at with it, man. Yeah.
Definitely. There's a question we want to ask you too, Joe, because we know, you know, you've really been out on the block for real, doing what you do. You know, from the pen to the pavement. We've seen a lot of times over the years, because you know, you in the heart of where be active, you know, with the activities, you know. And we see a lot of artists out here who be false flagging, acting like they really affiliated, you know, with they, you know, with allies, you know, calling certain people their comrades, but they not really cut from the cloth of it. What do a lot of people really got to understand in terms of, like you said, playing ball, but understanding that, you know, hustling out on the block is hard ball, and sometimes you can strike out. You know, what do people really got to understand about, you know, being out on the block like that, you know, when you banging?
Man, you know, my advice, if you're not really from this, you know, if you're not really from this lifestyle, it's not really a good lifestyle to portray, you know. It's very dangerous. It's a bumpy road for sure, you know. And you have to be a special certain type of individual to make it through all the trauma, all of the violence, all of the things that come with this lifestyle. Like, it's more to it than just being on a screen or an Instagram post, or, you know, it's way deeper than that. I'm not going to get too deep into it, you know.
Understood.
But I do believe that if you're not a part of this, leave it alone, bro, because it's definitely a dangerous, tricky roller coaster, and you got to be conditioned for it. And if you're not conditioned for it, if it's not something that you've been doing your whole life, you know, we in the game and trying to make it out of the game. You know what I'm saying? These
right.
people are already out of the game, never was involved in the game, and try to come into the game. And that's where you will crash and burn at. You know what I'm saying? So they really hustling backwards. You already made it out. You know what I'm saying? What you want to come up in here for? I mean, they're not really secure with who they are as men. You know, they're not really secure with who they are as whatever they got going on, bro. But I definitely would say, if you ain't been doing this, if you ain't a part of this lifestyle, just leave it alone, bro. It's better to be a player. It's better to be a hustler and an entrepreneur and get money in, take care of your family in, you know, because it's a lot that come with this, you know. And if you're not ready for it, leave it alone, you know. We just some of the chosen few that was blessed to make it this far, you know what I'm saying? But we still had to go through a lot to make it right here. It ain't all peaches and cream, you know what I'm saying? We had a lot to go through to make it right here, you know?
Right.
And, shit, it's a dangerous road. Look at my brother Hustle. He gone. You know what I mean? My brother, it was like one in a billion. And he was a part of this lifestyle to the fullest extent, you know what I'm saying? And the game got him, you know what I mean? It's like, so if you're not really built for this, it's not something that you want to get involved in. And my brother was fully built for it. And that's why he made it as long as he did make it. You know what I mean? It's a tragic situation. You know what I mean? But this is definitely not a job that you want to sign up for at all. That's what I would tell the youth. That's what I would tell the people who's older, who trying to get involved in this because they in the hip-hop world and all that. Man, look, if you ain't built for this, leave it alone, bro. It ain't for everybody. College ain't for everybody. Banging ain't for everybody. Going to work ain't for everybody. Rapping ain't for everybody. Playing basketball ain't for everybody. Bleeding the block and doing and coming out the trenches is not for everybody. So I would definitely advise you to leave it alone if you ain't already been involved in it, man, for sure.
You know, and one thing to hear that passion, that conviction, the panache, the honesty, the candor, everything that you said, you know, resonates especially. But I think that's a beautiful thing, you know, like Mozzie said about a beautiful struggle, because there is a struggle, but the way you get to express yourself is beyond measure. What's a typical writing session for you like? You know, what inspires G.I. Joe when he's going to, you know, put his pen, you know, to paper and he's going to write those rhymes? You know, whether it's illustrating, you know, how he was in combat in the trenches or how he contemplates, you know, life in general. You know, what motivates you in your MCing?
My motivation through the music, depending on the situation, if I'm writing for self, if I'm writing for myself, the inspiration for me would be my testimony, you know, my life. The things I've experienced, the things I've seen, things I lived through, made it through, just my life experience in general. I just feel like a lot of the stuff I've been through, it's like a book. It's like if I tell you some of the things I've been through, you probably wouldn't even believe it. Shit, I don't even be believing it sometimes. Like, damn, bro, how you make it through all of that? Like, you still standing tall, you know? So I be feeling like I need to put that. I feel like the music is like a diary for me, like a journal or something. So, you know, I just dig in my own thoughts, dig down deep, talk to self, let the music talk to me, and I get a connection with the music. And, you know, if that particular record is talking to me and me and that record got a vibe, then, you know, I'm gonna let nature take its course, and I'm gonna do what I do. It's like you see a million women out here in the streets, you know what I'm saying? You can't talk to every single one of them. You ain't going to crack every single one of them. But, you know,
right,
the ones that you do, it's a feeling right there. Like, I know I got action at this. She's feeling my vibe. I'm feeling hers. And then in between that, you know, y'all create magic and history and, you know, things get accomplished. And it's like, damn, we had a vibe and look what this led to. It's the same with me with a record, you know. It's like I got to hear a record. Nah, I ain't really feeling that one. That ain't really my style. Nah, I ain't really feeling her. But when I do get that connection with that one, it's like, oh, yeah, it's a match right here. And then I just let nature take its course, and then we make history together. That's just kind of how I be inspired off of records, just off of my life experiences. Nothing more, nothing less, just life experiences and learning new stuff every day and delivering it to the microphone, you know, and just jotting it down in the history books, man. I think that's it right there for me.
And do you like, when you go into this project, you go into a new project, it's kind of like a director going into making another flick. Do you like base off like themes and supporting cast and concepts? You think it's like making a movie? Because I know you did a documentary too.
Right. Yeah, I did do a documentary. When I'm making a project, it depends on how I feel, what I feel the game needs from me at that moment. Like sometimes I make mixtape records to where it's just like I'm just flexing that I can rap. Like I just need to get music off my chest. Sometimes my producers might be taking too long or something, so I just give them a mixtape joint, just so I can stay in the gym shooting, you know? So I might come with a situation like that. But if I'm stepping into, like, album mode, I do try to make it, like, a conceptual album, like a concept. I like to give it substance. I like to give it, like, a movie. Like, one of my projects was called 7 Grams, you know? And the thing was, I'm selling dope music, you know? But I'm talking like I'm selling dope, but really I'm talking about selling dope music. So, you know, it was a lot of metaphors and similes within that project that I would toss around. But as far as when it comes to real album mode, I do like to stick to a subject and give it a concept and try my best to lay on that. I don't really try so much to depend on features. because I don't really like asking people for a feature unless it's like my homies, like, you know. I don't really, if you notice, study any of my mixtapes or my albums or whatever, I don't really got features with rappers like that because I don't really like asking niggas, and niggas be like Hollywood, and then they see you and, oh, what up, bro? Oh, my bad. I ain't got time for all that, bro. Like, I'm cut from a whole different type of cloth. So it'd be like, all right, I ain't really rocking with no rap niggas like that, like, because it just be too much of a hassle trying to get a feature, or I could do it myself then, you know, or I could tap in with my homies from my hood, because my homies got gas. So, you know, I really try not to lay on relying on features or people to get back with me and all that. So I try to just knock it out to the best of my ability with what I got, with my team, with my bros, with who I rock with and who rock with me. You know what I mean? And so far it's been working for me. So I'm going to stick to my formula and just let life continue to open up doors and take advantage of it when it comes my way.
Definitely. Now, there's one thing, too, Joe, and this is the most obvious. How did you get your stage name, man? Well, your street, well, your name, rather, because we know this is more than a stage. This is real life. How did you get that?
Well, really, like, long story short, bro, it's like, my name, what, like, people used to call me, before this, people used to call me Jizzle, and then I was spelled G-I-Z-Z-L-E. So then we abbreviated that to G-I, because, you know, it was like a too long of a name, so homies just started calling me G-I, like, hey, G-I, whoa. And, you know, back then, man, you know, I used to stay on deck, you know, and situation that happened one time, I was telling my homeboy, like, we were trying to figure out a rap name for me because I think I started taking it serious at the time. I'm like, Lord, I got to get a rap name now. And I didn't want to come with the G.I. handle because at the time, T.I. was still popping. Like, he was still in his prime. So it was like, damn, G.I., T.I., that sounds too much like I'm trying to bite his style, you know. So we was digging through names. We couldn't find one. And long story short, I had told my homeboy, I met this girl. And she kind of stayed, like, in my enemy hood or whatever. And she was, like, she was half and half. Like, she was, like, street, but she was, like, trying to play it square. Like, she just go to church and all this stuff. So she was, like, can you come with me to church and just whoopie-whoop-whoop. So me being who I am, I'm, like, shit, man. I really don't trust this little play like that all the way, but let me try it out. Right. I'm trying to rock with you. So, you know, right. At the time, right. He was cracking for me, so I used to keep my thing all the time, and I ended up going to church with the girl with my thing on me. So I went to church. I couldn't really go into church because I knew I was got this thing on me on my waist. So I went back to the car. I sat in the church for about 10 minutes, and I kind of got up. I was like, I'm going to go outside real quick. She was like, all right. I called my homeboy, like, bro, come get me. He came and got me, pulled my joint out. He like, damn, bro, like, you took your thing with you in church? I'm like, hell yeah, nigga. I don't trust it. Like, nigga, you keep your name on the G.I. Joe, nigga. And, you know, we just made a big old joke about it and was laughing at it. Like, oh, damn, I do always got my thing with me. And pretty much the name kind of went from there, and I just end up sticking the OMG on the background because it's a million G.I. Joes out there. So, you know, I end up putting all my mind on the back end, so. That's kind of how.
Yeah,
my
we definitely don't want. You
hands down, the GOAT cartoon, by the way.
Yeah. Straight up, bro.
One of the greatest cartoon of all time.
The greatest of all times, bro. The American hero, man. That's him. Straight up, bro. So yeah, man. That's like the inside scoop on how I really got my name, man. It's crazy.
Definitely, man. So, I mean, you know, one thing about it, what have you learned in the game in terms of just how music works in terms of the politics, understanding the business, your publishing, making sure that everything gets distributed? Because, you know, you being in the position you're in with your own movement, you know, you get to have total dominion over when you drop, you know, who you want to work with, the schedules you're on. you know, entrepreneurship is the most excellent of endeavors. It's the most sexy of occupations. But what do people really have to understand about the work that goes in to really, you know, push, you know, in terms of campaigning on a concrete as well as to when, you know, you're banking in the boardroom when you're negotiating, you know, with the suits and all that?
I would definitely say you got to know where you're going with your music. If you feel like you're going to be just a straight independent artist and, like, that's it,
mm-hmm.
you got to, first of all, you got to know your business. That's the first thing. A lot of people come in the game and think that just because they rap good, you know what I'm saying, or they got a following or something, they think that their stuff is going to magically just blow or something like that. That's not the case. You definitely need to know the business yourself or obtain as much knowledge of the business as you can yourself. Study the business. Study the game that you're in. You know what you're talking about. Know your percentages. Know your rates. You know, you need to study all of this stuff. You really need to know the business before you even step in the booth, you know.
Right.
But if you don't, study the business when you get a chance. And you have to understand you can't do all of these things by yourself. It's impossible. Like, you know, I take credit for what I've done, but at the same time, I give credit to my teammates that surround me. You know, shout out to my manager, Rebecca Kitchen. You know, she's a big help.
Shout out to the lady.
And
yeah.
Helping me out. You
big
know,
shout out to you.
Big shout out to Rebecca. You know what I'm saying? That's my big sister. She come through and get shit off the checklist for me that I couldn't even imagine to get done, you know. But,
hey, she helped
you know,
put this together.
She put this together. There you go. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's a team thing, you know. And my homeboy Robin Hood. And I just got team members that deserve credit. You know what I'm saying? It's not always up to the artist. The artist doesn't do everything. You know, we are the face. We are the voice. We are, you know, in the limelight. But you got to have a solid team behind you that's ready to campaign with you. And you definitely need a team, bro. I just like to reiterate on that. You definitely need a team to do this, man. And your teammates have to be focused on getting the things on your checklist accomplished. You know, it's all about getting things off the checklist, you know. And when you stepping into those meetings, you got to make sure you got your lawyer on deck, you know. These are all team members of yours. You know, you have to establish
right.
a team. You can't just do it just by yourself thinking that your rap skills is just going to get you in a crazy situation. Okay, they might present you with a deal, but you got to know what type of deal you're signing. You know what I mean? You can't just go in there. I done talked to cats that was walking into meetings, don't know nothing about the business, but was ready to go sign a contract because they wave a couple thousand dollars in their face. You know what I mean? And it's like, bro, do you really know what you're signing? Like, go pay for that lawyer. Put that lawyer on your team. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And go in there and handle business the right way. Be prepared. Don't be scared to invest in a lawyer because that's investing into yourself. You know what I mean?
This
is an investment. This is an investment. If you can go blow off a rack at the club and talk about it in your rap songs, if you go blow $1,500 on some Balenciaga sneakers so you could be in your video, why you can't blow that same bag or even half of that on a lawyer? You know what I'm saying? He'll take payments. You know what I mean? Like, you gotta think, bro. It ain't all about the bling bling and the glitz and glamour. People get caught up sometimes. They'll spend more on the rollie than they will on the lawyer. You're going to go spend 20, 30 bands, 10 bands on the rollie, but you ain't going to spend a rack on the lawyer to make sure your business is straight. You know? So it's like, you just got to prioritize things, man. That'll be the message that I would give anybody that's listening to us in the game, on the independent level. Make sure your team is straight. Make sure you need a team, bro. You can't do it all. You can't do it all by yourself. That'll be my advice.
And on that note, man, because we know we about to wrap it up, because I know you got another appointment to make, man. We want to thank you once again for chopping it up with us for this exclusive. You stay pushing that line for the West Coast and making that good music, and you're definitely welcome to come back again, man. We can set up a part two real soon.
Let's do it, bro. Let's do it. Let's do it, man. I'll be ready. I appreciate y'all for the invite, too.
Definitely.
For sure, man.
Yeah, big shout out to you, man. A big shout out to Rebecca for setting this thing up, man. We definitely gonna keep in touch. So let's get this thing for going. Sure. It's been 2021. You heard?
For sure. Let's get it, bro. Let's get it, bro. I definitely appreciate y'all. Like I said, man, all the people else out there listening, man, make sure y'all download the new project. Believe me, by the one and only G.I. Joe OMG. You know, it's streaming on every platform. Also got the new single out, Different Cloth, with the video. Shout out to all my home team, my hometown, my homeboys, you know, the hood, Slauson Ave, you know, all my homeboys on the Different Cloth joint with me. I appreciate y'all time and everything and y'all effort, man. I love y'all. Neighborhood to the neighborhoods. And Hustle, we miss you, 60th Street, TMC. We're going to keep it rolling, bro. Easy call.
Yep.
OMG.
Yes, sir.
We out.
Yeah.
Peace.